The Bigger They Are by Wally K. Daly, with Peter Jones as Charles, Lockwood West as George, Donald Hewlett as the prison governor, Charles Hawtrey as Fingers, and John Rye as Warder Plunkett. The action of the play begins in one of Her Majesty's prisons, somewhere in England.
Her Majesty has been gracious enough to allow us to be her honoured guests here for the last too few years. A time of constructive joy. But now, sadly, we must leave you. And I think I speak for both George and myself.
You most certainly do, Charles.
When I say...
Yes, you most certainly do.
George?
Oh, sorry, Charles, I wasn't thinking.
When I say we shall miss you all. Miss the pleasure of having created an environment where your untapped talent could flourish. Miss the pleasure of sharing your joy at each new achievement. Fingers, numerous sculptures growing before our very eyes.
It's chips with everything these days.
Tommy's tapestry, nimbly telling the history of England.
Oh, 15 yards long now, Charles, and I'm only up to Ethelburton again.
And Cyril, having quite properly earned the right to put the dreadful sobriquet Bullet Head behind him forever.
Christ be for small mercies.
As he eschewed violence in his insatiable search for knowledge.
I say, Charles, that's rather good eschewed.
Eschewed, a shine or fleet, we're staying from. Did you write from the German, shaven?
Thank you, Cyril. Your joy at each fresh discovered word as you head toward your literature A-levels is, I believe, a sight that brings a pleasure to us all.
Yeah. I found fecundity for the first time this morning, Charles.
Mm, yes.
Some people have all the love.
It's a lovely word, isn't it?
Yes.
Fecundity. Mm. Fertile. Prolific.
Not an ear, mate.
Delightful, Cyril, delightful. But mostly, George and I shall miss Governor Smith, without whose help none of the training programs we've instigated here over the years would have been possible.
Oh, you're too kind. And I hope you won't take it amiss if I add those few words verbatim into my soon-to-be-completed biography.
Verbatim, Governor, not Tom.
Ah, yes, of course, Tim, not Tom. Most helpful, sir.
We'll be thrilled, Governor. Won't we, George?
Oh, we most certainly would. Tim or Tom doesn't matter to us.
Good. When I say my prison shall be a sadder place without you both.
How true.
I'm only sorry we couldn't convince the parole board to allow you to stay a little longer.
You're not by any chance questioning our authority to parole prisoners, are you, Governor?
No, no, Mrs. Stopford. Nothing could be further from my mind. Just mentioning in passing, a pity George and Charles have to go at all.
Oh, good. Though I can see your point, but even perfect prisoners must finally be paroled.
Here, here. The quicker the better, if you ask me.
Plunkett.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. Yeah.
Now, I believe we have a final musical tribute for you. Billy?
Yes. George and Charles, the choir has been rehearsing in secret over the past few weeks to give you this last musical tribute. All right, lads.
We'll meet again. Don't know where. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again. Some day.
Some sunny day.
Having dealt most thoroughly with the sad loss to the prison, both staff and inmates, of the two kind old gentlemen known affectionately to one and all as George and Charles, I turn in this, the very last chapter of my autobiography, to villainy in our midst, an expose of the highest order, creating some danger to myself, but danger that I take on my shoulders as a public duty. It concerns the allegedly reputable firm of Safe and Secure Security, which is in truth, dare I tell a startled world, which is in truth a mafia money laundering factory. Oh, my God, it's them, the mafia.
Come. Tell me, Gav.
Oh, Cyril, how nice of you to drop in like this. Do come in, do come in.
Show them all. I've brought along your new birthday suit for fitting.
A birthday suit?
Yeah, only goes to prove the chaps can keep a secret when pressed. We all decided to make you a surprise present in needlecraft class for your birthday next week.
Oh, well, I've been blessed. How on earth did you get my measurements?
Oh, tray for seal. When Fingers asked to measure you for a statue he was contemplating, he was really measuring you for his suit.
Well, I've been blessed again. I thought he seemed to be overly interested in my inside leg measurements.
And when Tommy asked you to suggest a colour for the next section of his tapestry, that also was a psychological ploy. He knew you'd suggest your favourite colour. And here you have it.
Mustard yellow.
Was he right?
Oh, yes. The colour I always think of for the opium wars in China has always been a strong favourite of mine.
Well, slip up your trousers then, Gov.
Well, turn round.
Oh, sorry, Gov.
You can look now, Cyril.
Oh, I like your underpants, Gov.
Quite catchy, aren't they? Present from my wife. She's got an eye for that sort of thing.
Oh, good. Well, you just slip into these, then. There you go. Smash it. Now, if you just stay still, I'll stick in a few pins here and there to take up the slack.
Right. Are you finding any change in your fellow inmates' attitude, Cyril, since you passed your A-level English literature?
Well, the major one, thank the Lord, is that they finally stopped using that silly and unsavoury sobriquet that they did while in there on occasions used before, when they thought I wasn't in the vicinity, that is. And one there. Right, that's left leg done.
A sobriquet?
Yeah, you know. B-H. B-H.
Surely you mean B-O.
Oh, no, that was a year before, when I went through that terrible shy patch and wouldn't take communal showers with the rest of the chaps. Could you just put yourself into an imaginary sitting position, Gov, so I can gauge how much slack needs to be taken up at the back?
Like that, you mean?
Oh, that's perfect. A B-H came after it, after I inadvertently took 10 of them apart at one go when I was enough.
Oh, I remember, of course. B-H stood for bullet.
Don't say it, Governor. There's absolutely nobody calls me that now. Nobody.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Gov. That was an involuntary thrust of me pink finger.
Oh, no permanent damage, I assure you.
Cyril,
While you beaver away, I want to put a little proposition to you about the warders, especially Plunkett. Have you noticed how miserable they all are?
Oh, oui. Les miserables, as Victor would say.
Sylvester?
No, you go.
Would he?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I wanted to talk to you, Gov, about Plunkett and company.
Really? What an amazing coincidence.
Oh, dear.
Fingers.
Oh, sorry to disturb you while you're chipping at that alabaster bus, but have you seen Bullethead anywhere?
Oh, that's all right, Tommy. I've just about finished this one in any case.
Oh, yeah.
Bullethead? Oh, yes. He just popped along to the governor's office for the first fitting of his birthday suit, as it happens.
I hope he liked the colour.
Brown, too. Mustard yellow is him to a tee. By the way, in passing, he's going to drop into the conversation subtly. His anxiety about some of the warders' men's condition lately.
Well, it's them being so bored through lack of bother that does it.
Exactly, and I do see Bullethead's point. I think any time now, one of them is going to crack up totally.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if it was you-know-who.
Well, Plunkett.
Got it in one, Tommy. You've got it in one.
147, 138, 149, 140, 141, 142, 143, 144, 145, 146, 147, 148 exactly. Good, that's shallow one checked, all present and correct. Now for the back one. 1, 2, 3.
What are you doing?
Checking the shower walls. 4, 5, 6.
What are you checking your shower walls for?
Make sure all the tiles are there. 7, 8, 9, 10.
What for?
Well, some of us like to do our jobs properly, Wilkes. You never know what these villains will be getting up to next. And the fillings from out of your teeth, you don't watch them.
Oh, come on, they're all as good as gold these days. They've got so many educational projects on the go, they haven't got time for villainy.
Don't you believe it. It's the quiet before the storm, you mark my words. Something will happen soon.
Oh, I'm bleeding hope so. Ever since George and Charles have been gone, this job's gone from bad to worse.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I must get on.
Bet they've found something better to do than counting tiles.
11, 12, 13, 14...
15, 16, 17...
George!
18, 19...
What are you doing?
Oh, just counting the little bits and bobs lying around. It's the big decisions that I find so hard to make these days, Charles. And the longer we're here, the harder it gets.
Big decision?
Yes, you know. Whether to plunge into the pool and then turn over to do the other side, or to do the other side and then go for a plunge in the pool.
Pretty arbitrary, whichever way you decide, George. This Sicilian sunshine's already made you look like a varnished mahogany plank. No matter which way you turn, get any browner and you'll have the old missionary coming over the chat.
As brown as that?
Browner. You even managed to get sunburned in those crinkly concertinery bits in the blubber on your belly, and that takes some doing.
I think I preferred varnished mahogany plank to crinkly concertinery bits. Sounded quite Charles Atlas-ish there for a moment. Oaken thighs, arms like thews.
Thews?
Those are the ones. Right. Decision made. I'll go and have a swim first, and then turn over. Well, better be on my way. Let's see.
Charles.
Hmm?
Just across the way. Decidedly familiar face.
Where?
Over to the left of that voluminous lady with the red bikini top covering her. Oh, no, it's not a red bikini top. She's obviously not used to exposing those bits to the sun.
George, stop digressing and tell me where I'm supposed to be looking.
Pictures. 3 yards to her left.
Got it.
Now, Bermuda shorts and a cigar?
Got him.
Well, looks not unlike our nasty old friend from A Block.
Good God, George, not unlike. It's him without a doubt. And
look, George, the chap talking to him.
It's that ferrety little scout who was forever visiting him inside.
Mr. Perkins.
The very same. Well, I'll be chivered. What on earth are machine gun Collodion and Perkins doing over here? One thing you can be sure of.
What?
They'll be up to no good.
And all the firm's books are safely in the safe at the villa?
Yes, Mr. Coloni. Stacked alphabetically and annually coded as requested, all ready for the family's annual inspection.
Don't say that in public, you maximo stupido.
How many times do I have to tell you? The family does not exist. I am the sole and secret shareholder of Safe and Secure Securities English branch, and the family is but a figment of the imagination of the gutter press.
There is no family. You hear me, Perkins? No family.
Yes, Mr. Coloni. Of course.
I hear you mention the family again. I personally limit your libido.
I won't forget, sir.
Cretino Maximoso.
Sorry, sir. For what time are they actually arriving?
The American members will land in about 2 hours. The Australians an hour later, and the Chinese continue to arrive early this evening. By which time you, my stupid little office boy, will be safely back in England where you cannot cause any more harm.
Mr. Calavera. I've only just flown in. Surely I could stay for a couple of days.
Stay? You think the family made of money? Don Bozo, what are they going to say if they find me giving my office manager a free holiday? You mean you didn't buy a cheap day return like a dog?
Well, sir, I thought that not having had a holiday this year...
A holiday? If I'm in prison, you're on holiday, right? If I'm not there to shout at you, that's a holiday, right? You have taken too much holiday this year, you lazy, no account of Bamzano.
Only a couple of days, sir.
Jukins, you are angering me. If you say any more, I'll call a couple of the boys to come over and thwack you a little.
Sorry, sir. Anyway, naturally, sir, I must be getting straight back to London in any case to make sure that your company, Safe and Secure Security, is functioning in its usual smooth fashion and let you get on with your annual general meeting in peace with the rest of the family.
You kids, there is no...
family. No, sir. Of course not, sir. Sorry, sir. By the way, sir, it's a small thing, but my name is actually Perkins.
Pilkins.
Shut up.
Brilliant ploy on your part, Charles, to cross subtly and stealthily to sit in a deck chair directly behind them like
this. Oh, not that brilliant, George. Fairly standard intelligence service procedure, in fact.
Oh, gosh, I'll never cease to be amazed at what your time with them taught you.
Many years ago now, George, many years. But it's like falling off a bicycle. Once you've learned, you never forget.
Surely you mean riding a bicycle?
No, falling off. I never managed to actually get the hang of riding the damn things.
Ah. Well... what do we do with our newfound information?
The fact that they're going to hold their annual general meeting here?
Exactly.
It's an absolutely stunning stroke of good fortune, George. And we are, of course, going to attend. See what the Mafia's getting up to these days.
What? But they never let us, Charles. Awfully snooty about who gets invitations, apparently. Particularly over here in Sicily.
We'll attend surreptitiously, George. Surreptitiously. Over fences and eavesdropping at windows sort of thing.
Wouldn't it be... rather dangerous.
Probably, George, probably. But can you imagine a better way of breaking the boredom of this endless holiday of ours than with a spot of boys' own adventuring? Spying on the villainous mafiosa?
I say! What do we do first?
Find ourselves a taxi and stand by to follow Coloni and his boys in their black limos.
Gosh, just like the movies, isn't it?
As chairman of this specially convened gathering, I demand that if you do have anything constructive to say, you address it to the chair, i.e. myself.
Oh,
or put it another way, the next one who speaks without my permission gets severely GBH'd.
Well, you can't blame us for our reaction to the suggestion, Cyril. I've never heard of anything so outrageous in my life.
Would we have to adopt them officially?
If word of that sort of thing got out, it wouldn't do a lot of good for one's later credibility.
No. It'd be completely off the record, Nigel. The governor's adopt a warder scheme would simply mean that each group of five or so will take a special interest in a particular warder. Sort of like, foster prisoners,
as it were.
Oh, yeah. Oh, see, yeah, if they wanted to learn any of the specialist skills we possess, we should endeavour to teach them.
What? Do you mean safe-cracking and stuff like that?
Mm. No, Fingers. But if we see them standing around looking lost and lonely, we go up to them and we engage them in a little conversazione.
Oh, yeah, what about?
Well, anything, everything. You know, edifying conversation, like.
Like, what?
Well, the state of the weather, whether the trees have turned autumnal yet, the economy, ask their views on eternal life, perhaps.
As against the statutory 21 years.
Exactly, Basil. On how it bodes for this year's harvest. Whether they brought British Telecom shares or not.
Whether they're unfaithful to their wives.
Yeah. No. Perhaps nothing too emotionally upsetting.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about if their wives are unfaithful to them?
Perhaps not, Billy. On reflection, it might be as well if you kicked out the conversation part altogether.
Oh, right, Cyril, yeah. Fair enough.
What about ourselves? Would we be expected to invite them in there?
Well, I can't see that the occasional invite for them to come and take tea would be too much of a miss.
Tea?
No. I can see that you still got your doubts, but would it hurt so much to give it a try? For the governor's sake?
You can't ask us to do it, Cyril.
No.
Well, think, fellow prisoners, of what answer our beloved and recently departed Charles and George would have expected us to give. And then answer me. We or not?
Oh, all right.
Suppose it wouldn't hurt.
Probably not.
Give it a try, shall we?
We.
Except for one thing, Cyril. No way does this we include blanket.
No way. No, but of course, Fingers, naturellement. That goes without saying, non to blanket.
Oui.
And to the rest,
oui.
The governor will hopefully take care of blanket himself.
And so I end this unsavoury saga of his safe and secure security, sure in the knowledge that these mafioso villains, masked with respectability, particularly Coloni, will now finally, because of my book, be brought to book. The end. The end. The end. The end. Whoopee!
Come.
It's me, sir.
Oh, Plunkett. Come in. Take a seat.
Very good, sir.
You come at an auspicious moment, Plunkett. I've just this minute finished the last chapter of my autobiography.
Really, sir? Your autobiography? How interesting. Is it to be published, perhaps?
Jolly well, I hope so.
How fascinating. Think anybody will buy it, sir?
I beg your pardon?
I was wondering if anyone will buy it, sir. When it's published, that is.
Oh, I think so, Plunkett. After all, it's quite a fascinating subject. Prison life.
Yes, no doubt, sir, no doubt. The competition is immense, of course.
Competition?
Well, they do say there's 40,000 new books published every year in this country alone.
Do they?
Oh, yes, sir. Quite easy to get lost in the flood, I should imagine.
It's not all about prison life, by any chance.
No, sir. About many other diverse and interesting subjects. You name any subject, and you can be sure that at least one, if not more, books on that subject will be published every year. But, still, if you've got a publisher interested enough to publish it, he must at least...
Well, I haven't quite got that far yet, Plunkett. Plunkett. Less than 40 seconds ago, I was full of happy euphoria, having come to the end of an exceedingly long and arduous task, awash with joy on a pilgrim's progress level at having at last brought my book safely to shore. And you have managed to smash that euphoria to smithereens with words that are coming at me with the force of a hobnailed boot.
Have I inadvertently upset you by any chance, Governor?
No, you have not upset me.
Oh, good.
Just tell me what you damn well want and leave.
It's the tiles in the toilet.
Tiles in the toilet?
Yes, sir. Some of them are very loose, and I think the prisoners may be taking them off and then sticking them back on again.
Taking them off and sticking them on again? What on earth are you blathering about?
I believe they're looking for ways to escape. Air ducts and what have you. Like in that American film shown in the canteen. I think it's a copycat job, sir.
But none of the prisoners saw the film, Plunkett. None of them go to the canteen film shows now. They're all too busy with their projects. I only keep the films going to give you warders some you look forward to.
Well, sir, perhaps.
Oh, one moment, Plunkett. Come.
Say what, Gov? Wonderful news. All the chaps have agreed to...
Oh, yes.
You may wait over there, Plunkett.
Very good, sir.
Cyril, you may tell me whatever you have to tell me on the way to the toilet.
But I've just been, Gov. Always the same when I get excited.
No, not popping in for a visit. I just want to check. I just want to check on a serious report from Warder Plunkett. He's forewarned me. Perhaps there is chicanery afoot.
Chicanery? It's a bit unlikely, Gov. I mean, everybody's too busy for chicanery these days.
Cyril, let's just walk, shall we? So we can talk comfortably.
Oh, wee. We're a cool stuff.
Shan't keep you long, Plunkett.
That's all right, sir. Be interested to hear what you think.
Well, I suppose I could glance at the governor's autobiography while I'm waiting. Yes. Yes. Just a glance. See if I get a mention. Yes, that's what I'll do. No harm in that.
Are you all right, George?
Oh, yes, fine.
You're sounding a trifle testy.
Well, I did have that wasted journey following Perkins to the airport. It's been nearly 3 hours in all, and this taxi's just like an oven, but that apart...
It's them.
What?
Coming out of the Lido and heading for their limo. Get down, George. Down.
Down? Oh, yes, down.
What can you see? Exactly what I said. They're heading for their limo. Right, they're in, we're off. Up you get, George.
Right.
Driver, follow that car.
I appear to be stuck, Charles.
Driver, driver. Well, I'll be dashed, the damn fellow's fast asleep, George. Driver.
Good Lord. I don't believe it. Machine gun colony. Safe and secure security. A mafia stronghold. Ooh, this is dynamite. Now, think, man, think. Who's the little filly who used to visit Colony? Used to slip me the odd pound note or two for turning a blind eye to the goodies he brought. Puke. Park pork. No. It ended in M's. I'm Mr. Pinkins. Porkins. Perkins. Yes, that's the one. Perkins. Perky Perkins. I'll give him a ring. Yes, that's what I'll do. Ring Perkins. Perhaps he'll fix me up with an important job. Get me out of prison life for good. Oh, great. Yes, that's what I'll do. Ring Perkins and full board him.
Welcome, my friends, my brothers. Today's our secret annual general meeting. As chairman and leader of our movement in England, may I say how thrilled I am that you all arrived safely in our beloved mother country.
The pounds are indeed proud to be invited to such an august gathering.
We are all brothers at heart, Hoovan.
Amen to that, Cobbers. We Australian Mafia are even contemplating forming an international Mafia cricket tournament.
Cricket? We look forward to hearing how it goes, Mr. Foster.
Why not cut all the crap, Albertino, and get down to facts and figures. I didn't apply 2,000 miles for the flannel.
Why do you always set out to irritate me, Angelino? You know how upset I get when you're rude to me. Mama will not be happy when I tell her. Always she says, Angelino, do not upset your little brother Albertino. So why, Angelino, do you upset Albertino? Angelino?
Because I should be a godfather in England, not you. That's why I'm Elder's brother. Yes, it should be my job.
But you haven't got the brain for it, Angelino. Mama said you were the muscles. I am the brain.
It's true, and the whole world knows you're only muscles. Is in your mouth.
And the whole world knows that when you sit down, you crush your brain.
What does that mean, my clever little Albertino?
It means, Angelino, you cannot see an insult when it looks you in the kisser.
Now you go again talking like an educated college kid just to escape my anger.
Paul, not so proud to be at not so august gathering, lad.
Struth, this is worse than the screeching of Sheila's at a Bondi booze up.
Why don't you talk English so I can understand you?
That was English. Australian English.
Why not you, him?
And why aren't you a friendly like, as Mama say you should be?
Never, just because you are still a little baby.
Don't anger me, Angelino, else I must get my boys to thwack your boys and eat
them and whose army? My boys can thwack your boys any day of the week. Albertino!
No, Angelino, they can't do that.
Fairly typical family gathering by the sound of it, George. Yes, it appears so.
Oops!
You all right?
Only just. Nearly slipped down the roof. Loose tires.
Tie your braces round the guttering sense. Well, I've done. No chance of falling in, and you'll be able to see through this pen light as well.
Ah, good thinking. Brilliant idea of yours, Charles. Taking turns each at furtively hanging on the back of the limousines as they arrived at the gate like that.
Another little trick I learned in wartime intelligence, George. Only way I could see us getting into the ground. So much surveillance, it makes Port Knox look like a village post office. Braces okay?
Oh, yes. Good. Holding beautifully.
Good.
Yo-ho. Yeah.
Hey, George.
I thought we'd never get on the roof, mind.
Lucky that painter's ladder had been inadvertently left outside.
Yes, fairly careless.
They're probably not too worried. Once everybody was safely inside the villa, they could let their dogs out again and the place would be secure once more.
I was going to ask about the dogs, actually.
Hmm?
A fairly ferocious-looking pack. How are we going to get past them when it's time to leave the grounds?
Poison meat? Afraid not. I didn't think to bring any. It all happened in too much of a rush. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, George. For the moment, let's just listen in to see what's afoot. Right here, Charles.
Says who?
Says me.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, at any time you want to try it, big brother, you try it.
How about now?
It's a gun. You're covered, Mr. Angelino. Don't move.
You see? My boys didn't trust you to come unarmed as promised, Angelino. Shoot, and you're a mincemeat meat for the dogs outside.
And my boys didn't trust your boys to come unarmed either, Albertino. You got them covered, boys?
Sure thing, Mr. Angelino, from up here in the Mistress Gallery. Don't worry, boss. I've got a machine gun covered in Angelino's boys in the Mistress Gallery.
Don't worry, boss. I got the bag with the machine gun covered from here as well.
Well, Angelino, I don't know about you, but I've lost track of who's covering who.
Me? Tell
me, please. Shall we call it a Mexican standoff?
Oh, no. No, more sensible gentlemen to decide on Chinese standoff.
What's a Chinese standoff, Hufan?
A Chinese standoff is when we make a chowing of all available weapons, put them on table where all can see them. If necessary, they can quickly be grappled again. The Tong Tan does all time.
What do you say, Albertino?
Okay. But only if you promise to treat me like a good brother should. Friendly like.
Is a deal. Okay, boys. Come and put your weapons on the table, like Kung Fu says.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, sure thing, Fung Fu.
And all of mine. You come over here and do the same. Oh, well. Ah, now. Perhaps we can get on with our meetings.
Yes, huh? I sure hope so. We Australian Italians have never really understood the family's need to feud all the time. Ruth, I've never seen an argument yet that couldn't be settled over a crate of lager. Wheel it in, boys!
Through. Oh.
Just a moment. Hello.
Is that Mr. Purdy?
Yes, speaking. Who's this?
I'd rather not say at the moment.
Rather not say why?
I'll explain later. I've been trying to get you all afternoon.
Yeah, I wasn't here all afternoon. I've just arrived back from abroad. What can I do for you?
More like what I can do for you, Perkins.
All right, then what can you do for me?
I have information you might find of interest.
Information? What sort of information?
Important information. A book is shortly to be published.
A book? What about?
About your firm, Safe and Secure Security. About the fact it is run by a mafia, and the machine gun colony is its true head.
That is a libelous untruth. Safe and Secure Security is the most respected institution in the... Hang on. I recognize your voice. You're the warder I used to bribe, so that I could take the basic necessities of life into Her Majesty's prison whilst visiting my superior, who had been wrongfully detained.
They weren't bribes. They were unsolicited gifts.
I'm right. I'd recognize that voice anywhere. Plunkett, wasn't it?
Still is, as it happens.
Now, look, Plunkett. Even though it's wicked lies, it mustn't be published, do you understand? Who wrote it?
The prison governor.
I see, the governor. Could you possibly get hold of it for me, just so that I could glance through it, perhaps?
There will be a payment involved, of course.
Do you never think of anything but money? Surely it's your civic duty to stop this libel.
I don't want money.
You don't? Good Lord, how bizarre. Then what do you...
I want a good job. A job that will get me out of the prison service for good. A job with your firm. Managerial. Swap me cash for cash and a clean white collar.
Get the book, Mr. Plunkett, and we'll talk again. Over my dead body, will that paranoid screw work for us? Oh, dear. But how did the governor find out the truth about Safe and Secure Security?
And before we all finish up our cocoa and turn in for the night, may I finally say to both warders and prisoners, if you'll excuse the expression, that hopefully my adopt-a-warder experiment will help to ease the warder's tedium and will prove a resounding success. And show you men, our charming charges, that warders, underneath their harsh exteriors, hidden behind hardwood truncheons, as it were, are also, if I may make a little witticism, almost human.
Oh, and a trade roll.
Thank you, Cyril. Now, men, any questions?
Yes. When you say none of the doors henceforth will be locked, does this include the front door?
No. Unfortunately, that's not possible, Fingers. I mean, if I have any high-ranking visitors, Mrs. Sopworth from the parole board, for instance, it'd be a bit off if they could just walk in off the streets unannounced.
Yes, naturally.
If any of you wanted to pop out with your foster warder for the evening, it could always be arranged to loan you a spare warder's uniform.
Shouldn't think from what I've read about the outside in some of the more serious Sunday papers that we want to.
I couldn't agree with you more, Cyril. More criminals by the yard out there than there are in here, it seems. I dread walking across the common at night.
It'll be dangerous. Muggings.
Violence.
Sex.
Anything else?
Yes, Governor, I have a question.
Yes, Warder Wilkes?
Well, what about... Plunkett.
Luckily, it doesn't become a problem until a month's time.
Oh, how's that go?
Warder Plunkett has summer crude leave, and as he's under obvious stress, I'm going to suggest he takes a month off. By the time he comes back, I'm sure I'll have come up with a perfect long-term answer to the problem of Officer Plunkett.
I doubt whether they'll bring back Ain at such short notice.
And we have seen this year our profits rise enormously. Safe and Secure Security have indeed just received a contract from the Bank of England to transport the Britain's total used money supply to their bank in the city from banks nationwide for the destroyed, as well as for delivering from the minty place all monies printed every week. This means that virtually all England's new and used notes are now passing through our hands in any given week.
How's the lager, boys? That'll put hair on your didgeridoos.
Carry
on, Mr. Collins.
Oh, grazie. Add to this the multi-billion bound holding of the family's monies and treasures worldwide that we keep in our secret vault within the vault. Not forgetting the art collections. The jewelry. Your boss's cheap investment. Plus funny money.
Funny money? How so?
Funny, Hu Young. You understand me. You're a counterfeiter, then.
The nothing money, huh?
Exactly. Money we have printed over the years, and will now be exchanging this very week for the old used notes that go for burning by the sackful. So you can see, therefore, we are in a very healthy economic situation indeed.
One thing puzzles me, Albertino.
And what is that, Angelino?
I know, because Grandfather told me many years ago that this firm in England, Safe and Secure Security, was founded when times were troubled in America. It was funded by family money to be used by all the international godfathers.
That is true, Angelino. So what is the puzzle?
I was of the understanding that finally one day would be payoff day, when the whole of the wealth of Safe and Secure Security would be shipped out of England and shared equally between all of us.
Lily, how interesting.
Some handout, eh, Hufang?
That is true, Angelino, but only if we were under threat. We have never been under threat. Not the one a whiff of scandal has ever touched the good name of Safe and Secure Security.
Answer question raised by honorable brother Angelino. When is payoff day?
Oh, not for years. Oh, what would be the point? We are making millions of pounds of legitimate money every year for laundering even more billions of pounds of illegitimate money. We have in Safe and Secure Security probably the most useful monetary device this family has ever possessed. Well, why wrap it up?
George, this is the most staggering revelation I've ever heard.
Quite incredible. But I feel... But surely we must do something about it.
I don't know. I feel very ambivalent about lawbreakers these days, George. All that time we spent in prison did it, I suppose. Mind you, if these chaps did decide to pull the rug out from under the company and make off with the loot, we'd have to do something then.
Why's that, Charles?
Well, if half the country's funds disappeared at one fell swoop, it'd be economic disaster. Not enough cash to pay the workers, industry would be at a standstill, runs on the banks, building societies, etc. Stock market would plummet, the government would probably come tumbling down.
Just that one bright spark in a lot of gloom, then.
Exactly.
But why should they pull the rug out? They're not under any threat. And that's the only reason, he said, that would cause them to do so.
No, I'm afraid you can't. Mr. Cologne is in a meeting. What? He's not going to like this, but tell him it's a what? A disaster. Right, hang on. Must remember that. A disaster. A disaster.
And we have seen an ever wider market for the drugs we import for these foolish young people to buy to make their lives more tolerable. Yeah. But is our money truly safe on deposit for the matter.
I assure you, Hufang, your money is safe with our company. It is to our mutual advantage, in fact, that we do business in such a friendly fashion.
Well, my fellow directors are quite happy to go on using your facilities. London's rapidly becoming a suburb of swinging Sydney. They've got the bucket shop airline ticket business sewn up, the manufacturing rights on rucksacks, and the distribution of our pommy repellent lager. So we're making a fortune.
Business is indeed good worldwide.
Excuse me, Mr. Cologne.
I am a chattering a dumbbell. Don't you know better than to interrupt when I'm a chattering? You there, thwack him.
This was the colony. Oh, Mr. Cologne, it's Perkins.
Hukins, thwack him again for mentioning a horrible man.
Yes, Mr. Cologne. Oh, he's safe to say that the company's in great danger. A disaster, he called it. He's on the phone now.
What? Excuse me, friends. I better talk to this idiot, the Maximus of Pukins, to see what this disaster is. Oh, you there, welcome again for making me have to get up.
Yes, Mr. Colony.
What do you think you're playing at, you Moronista Supremo? I have a serious meeting and you interrupt at a telephone call. Yeah, you're lucky I don't rip your head off and have my boys use it as a football.
Yes, Mr. Clary, I realize.
So now you keep me standing at the telephone without telling me what the disaster is about.
No, Mr. Clary, I can't seem to get a word in.
Now I talk too much, is that it?
No.
So what is this disaster? Come on, Dumbino, let me hear it.
A book, Mr. Cologne.
Book? What about?
A life story. It's an autobiography.
An autobiography? A life story about a motor car? What possible disaster can come from that?
It's not about the life of a motor car, Mr. Cologne.
Oh, it's about the death of a motor car. Okay, read it. If it's got a happy ending, buy me a copy.
It's about the life of a person, Mr. Cologne.
What? You're ringing me to tell me someone's writing a book about their dumb lives?
A person, a prison governor, as it happens. He has a chapter on safe and secure security.
Oh, so what? We're a famous British institution.
It tells what we really are, a mafia strongbox joke, money laundering factory, and he also says that you are the true owner. And mafia godfather in England. Mr. Cologne.
Has the book been published yet?
No, sir. It's just in handwritten form.
Get it, Pukins.
Well, luckily, I'm already in contact with a person who can get it for us.
How much?
He just wants a job with us, actually, management level.
Good. Make him your assistant so you can keep the eyes on him.
But, sir, he's awful.
Oh, don't worry. You're awful, but I managed to live with it. Besides, he won't be there long.
You. Come here.
Yes, Mr. Cologne.
Slap me on the face a little. Get the blood moving.
But, Mr. Cologne...
Slap. Harder. Harder.
Okay, okay, okay. Mamma mia.
Oh, don't go crazy.
The problem, Albertino.
The problem is, Angelino, our hands have been forced. While safe and secure was safe and secure, there was no problem. Now it is no longer safe and secure. We must pull the rug from under it.
Uh-huh.
We must bring our piggy bank in England to a close. I shall immediately return there to put it in hand and close it down.
George, we've got to go into action immediately. We must certainly must, Charles. The guttering's starting to go.
Charles! Nobody, George, your braces will break your heart. The whole guttering's going.
George, are you all right, George?
Yes, the dogs took the brunt of it.
Quick, get your braces untied. The mafia must have heard.
I can't get them loose, Charles.
Well, slip your pants off, same as I'm doing.
But, Charles, what if we meet a lady?
More likely to meet your maker. Quickly, they're coming.
There they are. Shoot after them.
Now come.
Sorry, me, Gov. Just popped in to let you try your new overcoat on. Oh, say, you all right? You look as though you're a bit cross. What is it, Gov? Death in the family. Dear old man finally shuffled off a mortal coil, something like that.
Worse, sir. Much, much worse.
Oh, no, not your dear old bear.
Oh, my manuscript.
Your manuscript?
Here's my autobiography. Years and years of work.
gone.
Gone? Disappeared, Cyril. It was here last night, and now it's... gone.
Gone? But sure you kept a copy. I mean, I thought that was the first rule of writing. Always keep a copy.
I didn't. It's horrendous. All that golden prose, all those fine thoughts I've had over the years of how to improve the prisoner's lot, make life more worthwhile for both sides in the ceaseless war between the guilty and the warders, yeah. The inspiration and insights into life and death, love and hate, past and future, gone, gone, gone.
Did you think to check the dustbins by any chance, Dad?
Yes, first thing I thought of. But who could have done such a dastardly thing, Cyril? Who in this peaceful oasis of ours could be evil enough to snatch away a man's very dreams? Who, Cyril? Who?
Well, Plunkett, I suppose.
Good God, you're right. Plunkett! Yes, the manuscript was on the desk last night. And when I told Plunkett about his month's enforced leave, he told me to get... to take the month in lieu of notice, as he probably wouldn't be coming back.
Gosh! How absolutely shame on you, please.
Exactly. I was so thrilled, I skipped off down the corridor singing without even a thought of my precious manuscript.
And when you arrived back this morning, it was gone.
Exactly, Cyril.
This has to be Plunkett.
Shall I be?
As the French will ejaculate.
They?
Definitely, Governor. Definitely.
I really am dash sorry about last night.
That's all right. You couldn't help the tower slipping from under you.
Oh, true, but to slide right off like that.
Jolly good job you swung by your braces is all I can say.
60 years old and still full of elasticity. It was a rather strange sensation for a man of my advanced years, twanging up and down in front of that window with everybody inside looking out at me. I felt like a trapped yo-yo. I still don't know how I finally fell to the ground.
I cut you free.
I might have hurt myself.
Well, I had to risk that. I gauged the moment when you and the guttering would fall under those vicious, slobbering hounds below and lay them out in one fell swoop, plus safely cushioning your fall.
Gosh.
Training George and the intelligent mind ready to rise to the heights of inspiration in the twinkling of an eye.
Brilliant.
Exactly.
And when the dogs arose, they were so confused and concussed, they charged on the gunmen and sent them racing back indoors. I didn't like the sensation of the bullets whizzing by us in the pitch black with the forest at the rear.
No problem if you could hear them, George. It means they've missed. They got somebody, mind. I quite distinctly heard someone scream in agony. Now, before we set off for the airport, I'd better go and telephone the governor. Let him know what's afoot.
This is all very spacious, Perky.
Mr. Perkins, if you don't mind. Mr. Plunkett. If you do indeed end up working here as Mr. As my superior has indicated you might, I shall expect you to observe the common courtesies.
Certainly, Mr. Perkins. A small price to pay for getting out of prison uniform. I was just saying, this garage, gigantic, isn't it?
It's large enough to hold our entire fleet of 140 security vans. In fact, it's fairly empty at the moment, as it's a busy day, but by the weekend it'll be jam-packed.
What's that large, concrete-looking place? Bit of a traffic hazard,
isn't it? That leads down into the somewhat colourfully termed vault. Vaults. Nobody but Mr. My superior himself, plus a few of his friends, go in there, and the drivers do seem to drive around it quite happily. Right, come this way, would you? It leads through to the offices.
Will I get one of those little plastic cards to open the doors?
Yes. I'm not sure whether you'll be issued with one that also operates the executive washroom, but I will check with my superior.
Oh, good. Have a tile work in there.
The what?
You know, the ceramics. I seem to have developed a taste for tasteful toilet tiles these days.
Really? Well, each to his own, Mr. Plunkett. This way, my office is at the end.
Doesn't seem to be any people around.
Yeah, it's mostly computerized now, bookkeeping, route planning, etc. And the staff have always been kept to a minimum for security reasons.
Oh, of course.
Naturally, I do have a private secretary. Hello, Doreen.
Hello, Mr. Perkins.
This is Mr. Plunkett, who may shortly be joining us. My secretary, Doreen Brown.
Hello, Mr. Plunkett.
Hello, Doreen.
Miss Brown, if you don't mind, she is my secretary, not yours.
Oh, sorry. Miss Brown, it is then.
Right, we're going through, Doreen. Organise teas, would you?
Yes, Mr. Perkins.
Come through.
Be delighted.
Take a seat.
Fine.
No, the swivel chair behind the desk is mine, Mr. Plunkett.
Sorry, This one?
Yes, that one's fine. Now to business. The manuscript in that envelope, is it?
No. It's somewhere safe.
I beg your pardon?
I said it's somewhere safe.
But you're supposed to have brought it with you. My superior insists on having it on the premises.
Ah, but if I brought it with me, Mr. Perkins, and you had it in your possession, there'd be no point in your giving me a job. Now, would there? Yeah. But what I did do was to bring you this photocopy of the relevant chapter.
Straight for a dying prisoner telling the prison governor. How could he do such a thing? On his deathbed of all times. Mr. Galloni is going to be furious.
Another drink?
Sure. How's your foot now?
Oh, fine, fine. The doctor said the bullet went straight through. Yes, repaired it well, see? But it must have no knocks.
So, who will do the job? You're Mr. Porkins?
It's Pukins, actually.
Oh, Mr. Pukins.
Yes. No. He is a dumbbell without the brains for such a job. Also, he might be hesitant about ruining his country's economy. The sentimental fools, the Britishers.
Sorry. So, who will handle it? Oh,
Angelino, beloved elder brother. The apples of Mama's eye. This job needs brain and muscle, right? Who better than you and I? Let's keep it in the Colony family. We clean safe and secure out, and then together get the loot out of the country, eh? What do you say?
Albertino, my lovely little bambini, you make me so happy. I kiss you.
Careful, what's my foot?
Oh, sorry, Albertino. I'm just so happy. Mama will be thrilled we work together finally.
We will follow later. Let her know. Soon as my foot stops throbbing.
Yeah, one problem. You've always kept the low profile at safe and secure security, yes?
Oh, see. Only go on the deadliest status of night. Check Pukin's work as much as necessary. Play with the computer a little. Then stroll round the vault to vaults and join paintings, porcelain, and silver and stuff. It is an Alan Ladd's cave down there. We must go tonight, Angelino. I assure you.
But if you take over from Pukin, what if you're still there during the day?
Well, I need a nighttime job. On Friday, all 140 vans arrive empty after doing their collections and deliveries. On Sunday, go back to local depots ready for work on Monday morning. Friday is our biggest day. All vans out. 50 of them collect used and dirty old money and deliver it for destruction to the Bank of England, while at the same time, 50 others collect new, clean money from the minty place to deliver to the banks to replace the old stuff. Very efficient, you see. And the other vans are free to do any other little jobs that crop up. BBC wages, small stuff like that. Then all end up back here empty, ready for weekend maintenance.
But what is the use to us if they're empty?
That is where my brain comes in. This Friday, they won't be empty. I program a computer to deliver the drivers with different dockets.
Docket? What's a docket? A baby duck?
No. A baby duck's a quacklet.
That's a nice word, quacklet. I like baby ducks, brother, do you?
Oh, sure, particularly with an orange sauce. A docket, Angelino, is a piece of paper. Tells the driver what he has to do that day. Now, this Friday, I will leave out the delivery side of the job. They will still collect the dirty money from the banks and the clean from the minty place, but will simply come back here without delivering it anywhere.
You mean...
Exactly! This week, the Minty has a hole in it. And we have billions of money all ready to be driven to a secret airport, then onto a fleet of charter planes and off for a shen out among ourselves.
Yeah, won't your maintenance man notice the vans are gone?
Huh? Good thinking. I'll just cancel this weekend's maintenance quacklets on the computer.
You mean cancel the dockets, Albert?
Of course I mean dockets!
You see, Angelino, we do work well together.
I must say, this is absolutely delightful, you both turning up like this.
And it's quite thrilling to be back, Governor, being honest. Very nice of you to offer us our old cell for the duration.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I must say, your mustard yellow suit is rather dashing.
And the chaps made it for my birthday. It goes rather well with moccasins, don't you think?
Yes, it does.
Governor, I was wondering, why did you open the front gate rather than one of the warders? And why this strange air of stillness about the place?
Combination of cutbacks and parole, perhaps? Oh, dash, how awful of me to forget to tell you. You must have been wondering why on earth there was no welcoming committee. Warders and prisoners are all out at the moment, I'm afraid.
Day trip to the seaside, perhaps?
No, they're scouring streets for that slug Plunkett, hoping to get my manuscript back.
Ah, so it was Plunkett.
I'm afraid so.
You see, Governor, your autobiography is a catalyst, as it were. George and I were on the rooftop of a mafioso villa and heard what was going to happen because of what you'd written. That's why we've got to talk to you.
You mean they'd read my autobiography in Italy?
Yes.
Did they like it?
Hardly. That's why we had to see you.
Oh, was the grammar bad, the syntax? Cyril checked it all thoroughly.
No, it was the content, Governor. Your revelations about safe and secure security.
Ah, quite.
Quite.
Bit far? Opened a can of beans, have I?
A hornet's nest, Governor. A hornet's nest.
Ah.
My superior's not going to be terribly happy about you being so suspicious of his intentions and not bringing the manuscript as requested.
Oh, well, I'm sure you explaining that it's with a friend of mine all ready to be posted off to the papers if anything unfortunate should happen to me should help him to understand. Provided I get the job here, he is quite safe.
A friend, you say? How surprising. Right, I'll open up and let you out, Mr. Plunkett. Unless you hear differently, see you tomorrow morning, 9:30 sharp.
Very good, Mr. Perkins.
Hi! Plunkett! We've been looking everywhere for you!
Good Lord, shut the gates. See the bullet head and fingers running straight for us.
Oh, gas. They stand that great few doors shut in our faces. What are we going to do, Cyril? What are we going to do?
No, not Cyril, Fingers. The moment for Cyril is past. Now it is bullet head time.
Oh, no, Cyril, not your head. Not as a battering ram.
Stand back, Fingers.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yes.
And then these great steel doors were slammed in our faces, weren't they, Cyril?
They were indeed, Fingers. I was so beside myself that I quite forgot my newfound calm. I became bullet head once more.
No.
But it was to no avail. My head only made tiny little dents in the door, so it shows how strong they were. No. Tray formidable, in fact.
Yes, the place is a veritable fortress.
You don't think there's any chance of us using your skills to get inside, Fingers?
Well, I've been in here so long now, I've been able to do the necessary background reading on modern technology and handle the plastic card stuff, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry about that, Fingers. If you'd let me know, I'd have got the necessary magazines to keep you up to date.
Well, as a matter of fact, I've been doing a bit of reading relevant to my own interest in electronics.
Oh, yeah.
And it would seem that unless you had either the coded car to work on,
yeah,
or a can of dynamite, there is no way that you can shift locks like that.
But surely we don't have to. I mean, he's got to come out. Putting this round-the-clock watch on the place means we'll have him in the end.
Well, what if my autobiography is still locked up inside there when he finally does come out? We'll never get it if we can't break in.
While understanding your justifiable anxiety re your manuscript, Governor, perhaps we should now disclose the wider implications of what is going on.
But of course, yes, I was forgetting. Dash selfish of me.
George and I, while in Italy, inadvertently stumbled on a mafia plot not only to rob the Bank of England of a vast amount of old money, but also the Royal Mint of a vast amount of new money, and as an incidental, to put the whole of the country's economy at risk.
How about my British Telecom shares, Charles? They'll be all right, will they?
Not even sure about that, Cyril.
That is serious, then.
The trouble is, we don't know what the plan is, what day the plan will be put into action, nor can any of you come up with a solution of how to get inside to find out.
No. You know, it must be at moments like this, Charles, that you curse yourself for not having started clairvoyancy classes for us all, along with the rest of the classes you started in here.
It would, I admit, have been a far-sighted thing to have done, Tommy. Almost a clairvoyant act in itself, in fact. See the top screen? They've got that gate covered as well. It's Nigel.
Well, that's every main entrance check.
Isn't there a little side entrance somewhere that they might have missed?
Yes, there is. Covered by camera three, as it happens. I'll switch it on. Middle bottom screen.
Well, I'll be. You see that man over the road? It's Billy Gammy.
Well, that's the lot, I'm afraid. We're surrounded.
We'll get you to stay inside till they go away, then.
Yes, but we can't stay here forever. It's gone midnight.
I know that. You know that. But it would appear that they don't. They're doing one-hour shifts out there, both warders and prisoners.
Look, I've got to put you out, Plunkett, so I can lock up and go home. My landlady will be worried.
If you put me out, they'll torture the truth out of me and discover Jeffrey's got the manuscript.
Jeffrey?
My friend.
Ah.
Don't say R in that tone of voice. He's just a friend.
Well, I wasn't suggesting.
We take walks together and talk about life.
Really?
Yes. And spend our holidays in a little boarding house in Margate.
Oh, nice.
Separate rooms, of course.
Of course.
Spend all night chatting if we didn't.
Hello.
What is it?
Middle screen, the one covering the main gate. They're opening.
It's them. That old fool Fingers must have picked the lock.
But that's impossible. It can't be done. Oh, no. It's Mr. Canoni and someone else. Quick, we've got to get out.
But why? Surely you're allowed to be here.
Not at this time of night. This is the time the family sometimes calls. Now, Canoni will think I'm spying on him, particularly here at the nerve center. You can hear every word from here.
You just await, Tangerino. You'll be amazed. Is it a combination lock or what? Mm. Electronic, a bit of plastic. Totally burglar-proof. Puking's idea. Oh, we have the good ideas sometimes. Sometimes, but not enough. Still, 2 days to go, and he'll be out of my ears for good.
See, it is open.
So, Brookings will take the raft this day.
Yes, for robbing the Bank of England and their minty place, wrecking the country's economy. Brookings will take from this the whole lovely place. Now, follow me.
Berkeley, they're sending you for the long drop. Get convicted for this little caper, and they could throw away the key.
I am not going to be convicted of anything, Mr. Plunkett.
What are you doing? Good Lord! Another set of screens.
Exactly. My one trump card that even Coloni doesn't know about. A secret set of screens that covers the vault of vaults. And microphones. We're going to listen to exactly what they plan. Then I'm going to do my damnedest to stop them.
I say, Perky, you're a bit of a tiger when roused, aren't you?
You ain't seen nothing yet, sweetheart.
It's no good, Charles. I can't think of an answer to it. There's no way past those doors. We're stuck.
He's right, Charles. We've had it this time.
Oh, someone at the front gate, Gov. Would you like me to oblige?
No, better not. Might be Mrs. Sopworth paying one of her surprise visits.
I suppose you're right, Gov.
Mrs. Sopworth? After midnight?
Mm, she likes to pop in occasionally and have a peep through your various spy holes, see if everybody's settled down comfortably.
Oh.
At least I think that's why she likes to pop in and peep through your spy holes.
Well, really?
Yes. Would you get it, Warder Wilkes?
Certainly, sir. Back in a sec.
It's one thought we have problem, Charles. Could we get hold of one of Cloney's cohorts and brutalise him a bit?
Well, no violence, Cyril. I detest all physical violence. It makes me quite weak at the knees just thinking about it.
Well, not just a teeny bit, you know, the odd arm ripped off and stuck up the odd nostril.
No, I don't really think brutality is the answer, Cyril.
It's just a thought, Charles.
What the hell?
We got Plunkett, Governor.
And Mr. Perkins as well.
Oh, Plunkett, this way. Get
him out. Let me go.
Plunkett. Stop struggling this instant. You are a disgrace to your calling. Where's my damn book, you bibliomaniacal monster? That was my baby, and you wrested it from my arms like some latter-day Herod. Your head on a plate with a small price to pay for such sacrilege.
You can't have it. It's my passport to a new future.
You let me have it this instant, you insolent cradle snatcher, or I'll have your truncheon of cuffs on my desk forthwith.
You cannot. I've left. Keep your cuffs and stick your truncheon up your...
Oh, you discombobulating demon. I have a good mind to... Dash it. I will!
Don't worry, Charles, leave it to me.
100 inches after you do a trick nicely.
There we go. Oh,
Cyril, I've no head for heights.
Oh, no, not near the armpits.
You going to be calm now, Gov?
Yes, yes, Cyril, I'm back in control now.
Well, I'll put you down then. Easy does it.
Ah, thank you, Cyril.
And you can let Plunkett go as well, Cyril.
Right.
No more fisticuffs, Governor. This is neither the time...
Nor the place. There is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood, leads on to fortune.
Or to the loss of it, if we don't get a move on. Now, Billy, Nigel, why is Mr. Perkins in our midst? Last time I saw you was on a foreign beach with a mealy-mouthed mafia man. So it'll be interesting to see why you were taken prisoner along with Plunkett.
I was not taken prisoner. I actually helped to deliver Plunkett back to you.
No, you'll all be amazed to hear he's speaking the truth. That the gates are safe and secure swung open, and he pushed Plunkett out.
He's going to kill me, like a wild animal he was.
And he chased after him with us, brought him down with a flying rugby tackle, helped us get him in the van, and insisted on coming back here with us to talk to the governor.
Talk to me? I don't even know the fella.
He's the one who used to bribe Plunkett to let him take goodies into Coloni while he was resident here.
It wasn't bribes. It was gratuities for holding doors open, things like that.
Plunkett, you're in enough trouble as it is.
This was the only place I could think to go to get help in stopping Coloni and the rest of the mafia from destroying what's left of the country's economy.
Don't you dare tell them their plans, Perkins. I'll be out of a job.
Don't you realize you're out of a job before you start? They're closing the place down.
You're lying. They'll look after me if I tell them what you're up to.
Whips, take him away. Yeah. I'm tired of his treacherous tirades. Yeah. Lock him in a dark cell like the snivelling turncoat he is.
A cell? Don't you dare lock me in a cell. Oh, the arm. Don't you dare. You've invaded my civil liberties.
Don't forget, I'm senior warden now.
No, you're not, since you wanted any function. Come on now. Now began Torquay to slowly put his fingernails out until he tells me where my damn book is.
There's no need, Governor.
What? Why is there no need?
I know where your manuscript is. It's with Plunkett's friend.
Friend?
His name's Geoffrey. They holiday in Margate together.
Margate? No accounting but taste.
But first, I have something important to tell you all.
There we are, Angelino, done.
As simple as that? You mean just by pressing a few buttons on the computer, you can arrange the biggest robbery the world has ever seen?
No problem. This is the modern way. I have to do a night school computer course to keep abreast of 20th century crime. To think our dear departed papa would have had no use for his beloved machine gun in these troubled times, Angelino.
He'd have thought of something.
Oh, true. Very true.
Now, Angelino, back to the mansion to arrange for drivers and air transport, and in less than 24 hours, we'll be on our way flying home to Mama.
Oh, great. Maybe she'll make us some of her pasta.
Well, it's all very interesting, Mr. Perkins, but we did actually know all that already.
Yes, you did? All of it?
Yes.
Really?
Really.
Scout's honor. Scout's honor. Oh, damn.
But what we don't know is how and when.
I do.
You do?
Yes.
Really?
Really.
Scout's honor?
Scout's honor.
Oh, good.
Well, the family secret fortune goes as well as the money. Now, I listen to their every word and follow their every move as they travel through the underground vault of vaults. It is indeed like an Aladdin's cave. So much wealth as to make Croesus look quite impoverished.
Oh, no. Similarly, Mr. Perkins, try that.
And as they walked, talked, I watched, listened, and remembered.
Well, tell us, man, so we can sort out how to deal with it.
On one condition.
You'd make conditions when the nation's monetary system is in peril?
Not to mention British telecom shares.
That's not a very British attitude, Mr. Perkins.
Yeah.
It's my life that'll be in peril when they find out that I told you. Oh, I need protection. Now, my idea is that you let me stay in one of the cells here, Governor, till the heat's off.
Oh, crazy calling.
I'll be told.
Yeah, not nice to be with. If I ask myself, I don't mind him being here as long as he's not putting myself.
Nor mine.
Nor mine.
I have it. How about solitary?
Ah.
Solitary what?
Solitary confinement. Locked away all by yourself.
Oh, that would be superb, superb. Put me in your deepest dungeon.
Is that agreed, then?
Agreed. My own confinement. Wonderful. Ideal. Just right.
So, man. Now it is important you all get some ice shots and have an early night. Midnight tomorrow. Oh, no, now it is midnight tonight. We go to work on this, the most exciting project we have ever undertaken.
Let me get this straight. You are saying if Colony programs the security vans not to deliver their loads, all of the 100 vans will be full to the brim with old and new money when they arrive at the garage.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But not only that, they intend to empty the vault of vaults and use the last 40 vans to get that stuff to their secret airfield. Mm.
Now, what time is all this happening?
Well, between midnight and 1 o'clock tomorrow, they'll be infiltrating at least 200 men into the garage at Safe and Secure Security in twos and threes, and they apparently hope to be off the premises an hour later.
Well, there's obviously only one answer.
What's that, Charles?
How many men could we muster from here, Governor?
Well, about the same as Colony, I should imagine.
Thought as much. And could we use your plastic card to get through the gate, Perkins?
But of course.
Then the answer to our problem is clear.
Yes, but what is it, Charles? I must admit I've got a little bit lost somewhere along the line.
We go round at 9 o'clock tomorrow night and remove all the bands and treasure before they arrive at midnight.
Charles. Brilliant. But where are we going to hide 140 security vans? They'll be onto us in a flash.
And flush us out in no time.
We're not going to keep the vans, Nigel. We're simply going to empty them and then return them to the garage before the clock strikes 12.
Oh. Cinderella.
Beg pardon?
Cinderella had to leave the ball by 12. Otherwise, she'd just disintegrate into grime, filth, and rags.
Sorry I asked.
And Nigel, I do know the perfect place to store the loot. Right, lads, nearly night. We have a busy day tomorrow.
Now, let me check. Dear pedestrian... No. Dear passer-by. Yes, that's better. If you find this hastily scratched note that I'm throwing out of the window, take it to my friend Geoffrey Peters at the address below. I'm a prison warder being held prisoner by the governor, his prisoners, and my ex-fellow warders. Oh, please tell him, Geoffrey, that is, that he must come and rescue me forthwith.
The last of them safely away. Strange to sense the prison around one totally devoid of staff and inmates. And to me, of course, has left the most difficult role of all to await their return. A role I shall bear with fortitude. If only I had my autobiography. I'd have a quick browse through my life to pass the time. Oh, good Lord. Who on earth could that be? Can't be them back already. The minute just gone. Well, there's only one way to find out.
Evening, Governor. Thought I'd pop in for one of my surprise visits.
Good Lord, Mrs. Sopwith.
gentlemen. Gosh, got cameras everywhere.
Obviously, no expense spared on security.
And an amazingly vast area washed with shuttered vehicles.
Quite. Which are the empty vans, Mr. Perkins?
Over there. The 50 to the left, they have the new money. And the 50 to the right, the old.
Fine. Right. Lads, everybody with a driving license, take up position beside a van to the left or the right. Mr. Perkins will come round shortly to give you all the various keys to get them started and unlocked at their destination.
Right, Charles.
I got a license, but it's suspended at the moment, Charles. Does that still count?
Better not take any chances, Nigel. Wouldn't like to think we were breaking the law.
Right. I'll go and get the van keys from the outer office.
Before you go, could we have your MasterCard to open the central vault?
I'm awfully sorry. I should have told you before. It doesn't actually work, that one. We'll have to leave all the mafia treasure behind, I'm afraid. Excuse me.
Oh, no, we can't. We must teach these blighters a lesson.
Oh, it's all right. Fingers and I are organising that. He'll tell me where the tumblers are sighted, and I'll make the necessary indentations on the card itself.
Right, Tommy. Has every van got a driver?
Yes!
Good. Now, two extra men to every van to help unload at the destination. Preferably water plus prisoner, where possible.
Right, here are the keys, but where exactly is our destination, Charles?
Oh, didn't I tell you? Sorry. Naturally, there's only one place safe enough to store such wealth of money. We're taking it all back to the prison.
Right, all vans ready for the off, Charles.
Ah, thank you, Waterwilt. Get it unloaded at the other end, and then back here smartish and park it exactly in its present spot.
Park it exactly in its present spot, okay, everyone? Bye, lads!
What's more? Under the breach, dear friend.
We're underway again, George. We're jolly well underway.
We most certainly are, Charles. We most certainly are.
Well, it's very nice of you to offer me sherry like this. Unusually convivial of you. But I do feel I should now be getting on. If they've finished their prayers, that is.
Prayers?
Yes. You said the reason you'd opened the front gate was because all your warders were overseeing the prisoners' good night prayers. I was most impressed. Moved, in fact.
Oh, of course, yes, the prayers. God bless Daddy, God bless Mummy, not forgetting Mrs. Sopworth, of course, and all the rest of it.
They mention me in their prayers.
But of course... You do hold a very elevated position in their lives, Mr. Sopworth. As chairperson of the parole board, being the final arbiter in their desperate strivings for freedom and fulfillment in the outside world, you are, if you'll excuse the elevated euphemism, almost a goddess.
Goddess?
Oh, yes. If there was such a thing as a prisoner's top 10, you'd be way up there in the charts, Mr. Sopworth.
I'd simply no idea that's how they viewed me. Never thought of it like that before. Parole board is just one of those things that a certain class of lady does without thinking. Part of one's civic duty, like sitting on a public school board of managers or campaigning for the reintroduction of hanging. The abolition of fox hunting, that sort of thing. It certainly makes one see one's responsibilities in quite a different light when one hears one's mentioned in the chap's prayers. Goddess, you say?
Yes. Oh. A spiritual pin-up, Mrs. Sopworth. A font of inspiration. And, of course, in those circumstances, one must indeed think very carefully of one's responsibilities and their welfare.
Well, their welfare is, of course, of great importance.
Yes. And I just wondered whether, bearing that in mind, if it mightn't be better to put off this evening's session of peering through their peepholes to a slightly earlier time tomorrow evening.
But why?
In case you should accidentally wake any of them up and spoil their beauty sleep, as it were.
But they've only just finished their prayers. They'll still be wide awake.
You'd be amazed, Mrs. Sopworth, absolutely amazed. Once their heads touch their pillows, they're off like a flash. Just a few prayers and they're as guilt-free as the average newborn babe. And not to mention the sheer exhaustion of their regime in here, of course.
Mailbag?
Hand across.
Well, I'm sorry, Governor, but I really must do it tonight. Tomorrow night's impossible. One of the mayor's balls.
I beg your pardon?
The mayor is giving one of his balls tomorrow night.
Charity?
Vasectomy appeal.
Oh, well, every little helps, I suppose.
So I will have to have my peeps now, please. But I will insist the warders shift the peephole covers carefully to avoid any undue planning.
There won't actually be any warders on duty at this moment, I'm afraid.
There won't. Why not, may I ask?
Chapel meeting. Unions, what have you.
Chapel? I thought chapels were those printer chappies, Fleet Street and all that.
Quite, yes. They meet in the chapel, say a few prayers, and then have their meeting in the chapel. Visitors forbidden, of course, while it's in progress.
More praying, the mind boggles. What on earth possessed them all, Governor?
Mrs. Sopworth, I must tell you, confess to you, there's actually no one. No, wait. Yes, that's it. I tell you what, Mrs. Sopper, as a special treat, I will get the master keys and let you actually go for a few minutes, actually go inside a cell. One of our more interesting prisoners.
Won't he be asleep?
Oh, no, he never sleeps. Slightly potty, in fact.
Potty?
Yes, but in the nicest sense of potty. He has delusions that he's a prison warder and constantly complains about a giant robbery going on at this present moment.
Really? But who does he think is being robbed?
Well, you won't believe this, but the Bank of England. Plus the Mint. Potty, isn't it?
Absolutely. He's not potty, Governor. The poor man's deranged. Totally deranged.
I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
I've never seen anything like it.
Well, beyond imagining. We've really opened up something here, haven't we? Yes.
Congratulations, by the way, Fingers. Tommy, well done.
Without a doubt, every major artist must be represented here. Rubens, Van Gogh, Michelangelo, Renoir.
Some nice bits of sculpting, too. Very well proportioned.
Beautifully hung.
I beg your pardon, Nigel.
Are these paintings beautifully displayed?
And every potter from Ming to Meissen.
And the jewellery, the gold, the tapestries, the treasures. Oh, if I was on the job now, I wouldn't know where to start.
This, I think, would indeed make Aladdin's cave look slightly underprivileged.
Well, now you mentioned Aladdin's cave, our very own nasty genie, Coloni, will be on his way here soon with a couple of hundred thugs. So, shouldn't we be thinking about getting the stuff packed up and away?
Good thinking, Tommy. Right, lads, let's get to it. Fill the vans.
Right.
Mind that, Ming.
Come, Angelino. Let's go and speak to them. Two warriors on a balcony before the battle.
Good words, my brother. Good words. Open the door and let us be underway.
Friends! Friends!
When my little brother says friends, friendly like that, it means shut up instantly, okay?
You shut the hole in my newly painted plaster dome, Angelino.
Sorry, I thought it would silence them.
It did, but I would prefer not to be hurt and have a hole in my newly painted plaster dome, like I got now.
I'm sorry, Albertino. I was not thinking.
Nearly $250,000 it cost me just last year. Same painter who touches up the Sistine Chapel.
Look, I said I'm sorry. What more can I say?
Mama hasn't even seen it yet.
Hey, the boys are watching us.
I know. My poor, poor dog.
Look, I'm really, really sorry.
Friends, I stand here to address you. Underneath that hole that somebody has shot in my new $250,000 beautifully hand-painted plaster at all. And this is what I have to say. One of you bums has done this. I'd have chopped your head off and put it in the horse's bed.
That's it, Charles. There's nothing left in a vault of vaults, clean as a whistle.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I feel like a rinsed-out doily.
Oh, I'm sorry, Things. I haven't got one of those.
A good night's work all round. Right, let's lock up again. Well, if you'd like to get off now in this last van, I'll wait for the other vans to come back from the prison and make sure the place is safely locked up again.
Well, actually, Charles, Fingers and I were talking as we brought the last of the stuff to the van, and we came up with what, in the words of that creative dramatic writing course that you instigated a couple of years back, could be termed a minor subplot.
Yes, and as we're quite enjoying being out in the open and in the fresh air for a short while at least, which makes up somewhat for the teeny touch of danger involved, perhaps you wouldn't mind if we hung about till everybody's gone. To put it into action.
But of course not, Fingers. Feel free.
Ah.
Whiskey, Charles.
That'll be fine.
George?
Same for me, thank you, Governor.
Right. Oh, push those watches and notes off the seat, George. Make room for yourself.
That's fine.
I should have thought to ask the lads to only put the new money in here rather than this old stuff. It's quite filthy. Mm. Housekeeper's going to give me hell tomorrow.
That's right, a bit of dust, doesn't it?
Quite. Well, here we are, then. Cheers.
Cheers.
All safe back?
All barring Tommy and Fingers. They're applying a little finesse at the very end.
Finesse at the end? How very interesting. I look forward to hearing about it. Now, our great difficulty is, what are we going to do about Mrs. Stopworth?
Bit of a problem. Locked up safe on a bunk with a comatose plunkett. What a to-do.
You see, I didn't actually mean to simply take her to see him. I intended to lock them up together, then explain to her later that she had inadvertently helped save the country's economy and take the consequences on my own head willy-nilly.
Good Lord. Willy-nilly. How brave.
But there was no need. She changed her mind about visiting Plunkett. Oh, no, no. When we got to Plunkett's cell, I couldn't see him through the spy hole, so I said, "It's me, Plunkett," and opened the door. He was hiding behind the door, ready to thwack me down.
You mean Plunkett actually struck you?
No, afraid not. You see, being the gentleman I am, natural training, that sort of thing, I stood aside to let Mrs. Sopworth go in first, and he thwacked her instead. Poof, out she went like a light, at my feet. Gosh, how awful. Dreadful. Plunkett was naturally horror-struck at what he'd done. I mean, striking a governor is one thing, but the chairperson of the parole board, something else altogether. As he bent over to peer at Mrs. Sopworth, I gave full vent to my inflamed passions and felled him with a single blow. Went out like a light, did he, on top of Mrs. Sopworth.
Woman.
My sentiments, exactly.
Gone. All my lovely treasures. Gone.
Who has done this terrible thing?
I don't know. I don't know. I only know what is done. The family will have my gaffers for guts. You saw the TV series. You know the sort of a thing they do when they're not happy. The only thing they don't hang for me, Tooks, is me.
Hey, Mr. Clooney. We can't find any keys for the van.
The vans. Remember, we still have the money in the vans.
But they can't find the keys. All is not well, Angelino. Something is badly bad here.
Who asked for the keys?
I did, Mr. Coloni. They weren't there.
You hit him for looking in the wrong place.
Yes, Mr. Coloni. Take that.
The hooks were there, but no keys.
Take that.
Hey, did I tell you to hit him again, Dumbo? What do I pay you for? To think of yourself? This time, you hit him.
Oh, yes, Mr. Coloni. One, two, three.
Get up. You hurt for something? What do you think I'll pay you for? To lie around looking sorry for yourself? Open another fan.
I haven't got a key, Mr. Coloni.
I know you haven't got the key, stupid dog, but you've got a machine gun, yes?
Yes, Mr. Coloni.
Then open this van with it, Dumbo.
Yes, Mr. Coloni.
Oh, not with the bus, you stupid old fool. Come here. Give me the gun, I assure you. Like a papa, like a son.
They're not exactly taking it philosophically, are they?
No. They never have been exactly renowned for their sense of humour. Right. Now, you ready for our little jest, Tommy?
Ready. He's looking in the first van.
God, there's a man in it. Open the rest of your pants.
Right. Now, let's get them all safely locked up inside.
And totally jam up the mechanism so they can't get out again.
Happy draw.
Nearly shut. Now!
Well, I can't honestly think what to do for the best.
It's difficult.
Come.
Sorry to disturb, Gav, but we stumbled across a bloke stalking outside. Said he wants to see you personally.
Me?
Personally.
Well, very well, Simon.
Come on, in your camp.
Don't know if you met him.
Nor me.
You too. Can't see I do either.
Oh, you will when he speaks. That's a wonderful impression of an old friend of mine. Oi, you! Speak!
My name is Geoffrey Peters. A kindly passerby brought me a note dropped from a cell window by a very good friend of mine.
Oh,
God. I guessed he was being held for blackmail, and that this was the price that had to be paid for his freedom.
I don't believe it's possible. This! It is!
My autobiography is safely returned!
Steady on, Ochet, steady on. You'll get the pages all soggy.
And Mr. Plunkett?
You, sir, may take Mr. Plunkett off our premises forthwith. Pop along and free him, will you, sir?
I'll certainly go. Come on, Geoffrey. Let's go and find your friend.
Just one thing before you go. You can tell Plunkett we have proof positive he took bribes.
It was the cost of our holidays in Margate. Drove him to it.
So you knew?
Quite so.
Get him out of our sights, sir.
Very good, Gav. After you.
Bribery and corruption.
Plunkett. Who'd have thought it? Who cares about bribery and corruption? My manuscript. My lovely manuscript safely returned.
Well, that's you, Governor, happily sorted out. Plus yes. Plunkett out of our hair.
Indeed.
But what on earth do we do with all this loot that's cluttering up the place?
A very good question, George. Only wish I had a very good answer to give you in return.
I do actually have the perfect answer.
You do?
Yes. The euphoria of getting my manuscript back has obviously set the old brain back in action again. Pass me the phone, would you, Charles?
But of course.
Come. Oh, Sergeant Breck.
Sorry to bother you, Inspector, but we've just had a funny sort of phone call.
Heavy breathing?
No, ma'am.
Chap said he was a prison governor, but wouldn't name his prison. Said as he'd enjoyed the occasional TV series that our police station had been featured in, he'd give the story to us. Said the Bank of England had been robbed, along with the Mint Man. Said that the 200-odd Mafia men involved in the robbery were locked inside the headquarters of Safe and Secure Security at this very moment. Sounds a bit rum to me. What do you reckon, ma'am? File it?
No, better check it out once you finish the paperwork on that lost heifer. Then give the Bank of England and the Mint a ring.
Where are they, ma'am?
London, that's a thing.
Right, I'll try that first.
I still can't get over the luck of Mrs. Sopworth being struck down with amnesia like that. Not remembering a dash thing.
Yes, so you've said, George, repeatedly.
Oh, have I? Repeatedly?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Charles. Oh, and Plunkett going off happily with his friend Geoffrey.
You've said that as well.
Repeatedly?
Yes.
Oh. Ah, but all the publicity. Ah, photographs in the paper. National heroes to a man. Smashed the mafia in England. Saved the economy. Pardons all round. Plus whacking rewards for all of us.
George, I really have had enough of this particular tale.
Oh, sorry, but it is all so jolly exciting.
George, you haven't finished with the sun cream, have you?
Oh, of course, Fingers. Who's it for this time? Tommy?
No, Cyril up the other end.
Right. There we go.
Here you are, Tommy. Pass it on. It's for Cyril.
Right. Pass it on, Nigel. It's for Cyril.
Okay. Here you are, Billy. Pass it on to Cyril.
Oh, fine. Here you are, Basil. Pass it on. It's for Cyril.
Sure. Here you are. There you go, Cyril.
Ah, charming. Now, which of you two lovely ladies would care to baste my body?
What is Basta, Cyril?
No, Papa, perhaps.
No, my Gina and my Bella, gifts from a goodly god. It's not Basta, baste. Baste is to cover my torso with cream, you see.
Torso?
Yeah, the white bits, divided in two by the trunks.
Are you white bits? Such a little tube for such a lot of white bits.
Well, if you spread it thin, you might just make the bulk of it. No gets to do the honours.
Oh, no, we do it together. My sister and I always do it together.
Well, that should make for an interesting evening, if nothing else.
The one sad thing is that the governor didn't get a gigantic reward like the rest of us.
Yes, tragic. That's the trouble with being a public servant, George. It's supposed to be all part of a day's work saving the country's economy.
Oh, very rarely work.
Very rarely. Sadly, he was too proud to take a penny off any of us.
Tragic, tragic. Still stuck in his prison while we flollop around on boring beaches.
There you chaps. I thought I'd find you here.
Good Lord. It's him, George.
Well, I'll be... It's the governor.
But how on earth did you manage to find the money to get out here, Governor? You were stony broke.
My autobiography. All the publicity's made it a runaway bestseller. It's being serialized by the Sundays and Radio 4. I'm going to be more filthy rich than a lot of you put together.
Hey! Oh, good for you.
Oh, that's lovely.
I'm glad you enjoy it so much.
So much, man.
Oh, so little cream.
Tell me, girls, when you say you're here to attend to family business, what is the business exactly?
You'll find out, Cyril. You and your friends will find out soon enough.
Oh, a sort of mystery business is here. And try to answer it, so.
There. Now, sister, 2 minutes to three, we must take our walk.
You'll come back.
Oh, yes, yes, we'll come back.
Soon after, 3 o'clock, I would
imagine. I think I could manage to live with the disappearance of that sort of thing. Oh, say, you didn't tell me your full name. In case we lose contact, I'll have to ask for you at your hotel.
Caloni. Gina and Bella, Caloni.
Oh. By the way, Cyril, the large package we left under your lilo to keep cool, you'll look after it for us till we get back.
Oh, but of course, don't you worry, your little heads will be safe with me. You'll be sure of that.
Okay. Bye, Cyril. Bye.
Bye. Caloni. Have we ever heard that name recently? But of course, Caloni. What coincidence. I've ended up looking after a large brown package for two girls caught. A large brown package for Caloni's daughters. I wonder what's in it.
Caloni,
meet again. Don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again someday.
Peter Jones played Charles and Lockwood West George in The Bigger They Are by Wally K. Daly. The prison governor, Donald Hewlett, Fingers, Charles Hawtrey, Bullethead, John Hollis, Warder Plunkett, John Rye, Coloney, Gordon Reed, and Perkins, Adrian Egan. Tommy, John Bull, Billy, David Timpson, Wilkes and Australian Mafia Man, Christopher Douglas, Basil, Ronald Herdman, Nigel, David Sinclair, Hu Fung, Garard Green, Angelino, Roger Hammond. Mrs. Sopworth and the Inspector, Gwen Cheryl, Doreen and Gina, Mia Soteriu, and the three thugs were played by David Lerner, Trevor Nichols, and Jamie Roberts. The Bigger They Are was directed by Martin Jenkins.